easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral with you.
The city didn't save me.
What are we going to do with the time shift?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
On from the future.
Because you can inspire.
In the future, my name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Absolutely. Heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
What is up, guys? Welcome. You are listening to DC on RMD, the Arrow Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you are listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile. You can head over to iTunes or Stitcher, search DC on RMD. Once you get there, leave us a review. We are also on Spotify, too, if you want to listen there. I am your show host, Brian Denton, and in the studio with me today is Bobby D.
Hello, hello.
And Angelica Dawn.
Hi. That's it. That's all you got.
All right.
All right. Oh, hey, that was a lot more enthusiastic than the, hi.
I tried.
How are you? Hello.
Okay. My name's Angelica. I just like to whisper whenever I'm talking to people, like that.
Just get real. I get really nervous.
I get really nervous. I don't know what to do with my hands.
I start hyperventilating.
Okay, so. Oh,
whoa,
that didn't sound like hyperventilation.
You told me to breathe earlier. That's what I did. I breathed.
Anyways, today we will be breaking down and discussing Arrow Season 7, Episode 22, You Have Saved This City. With this being our countdown to the last season, 10 episodes left of our show. Ugh. Yeah. Bittersweet.
Oh.
Bittersweet. This one was directed by James Bamford, written by Beth Schwartz and Rebecca Bellotto. Angelica, go.
I don't know what happened this episode. Like, we said goodbye to friends, basically. That's it.
Wow.
I mean,
you're not wrong.
Yeah, that's how I would have wrote it.
Amico's dumb ass. Amico's angry ass died.
Her angry nice ass. Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. I haven't really looked at her butt, but also just angry for no reason.
True. I actually liked this conclusion. I know that it's really hard to be, easy is the right word. It's easy to be bittersweet because we know how many episodes we have left. Right. And we know that at this point with the flash forwards, we know where we're at.
I mean, they could be done now and it's,
I mean, you're technically not wrong.
If they would have called this the end of the season with him walking away and not done Arrow next year and just had whatever they're going to do for the crossover with him, I would have been fine.
Yeah, I would have been okay with it. I think there were some pretty interesting shots in this episode. A lot of nostalgia.
You can't, James Bamford, when he's on the episode, you can completely tell the different level of directing and action scenes.
Oh, 100%. I think, Bobby, you and I talked about that. The fight scenes in this episode looked 120% better than the ones probably in the last two episodes, something like that. I mean, like, they're just the camera angles are different. The fight scenes in general are different, except for the ones with Mia, which looked, we won't even talk about that, but the ones
that was an improvement.
It was an improvement. There was one.
No, I didn't want to slam my head when I was watching her as badly this episode, and I think directing has a lot to do with it.
That's Angelica's rating system. Didn't want to slam my head once. It's a good one.
I didn't want to hit my head against the wall, so that's good. It's an improvement.
It makes me want to do that. So, like, that I didn't hate her this episode because it was just directed a lot better. As much as I hated the, like, shoving it down our throats. Like, look how much she's like Oliver. Did you see? Did you see
the
that
duality in the final scenes?
Yeah. And then her just shooting the bow and swinging on it. I'm like,
I don't. It wasn't. I think I would have hated it more if it was anyone else directing it. Like, I didn't hate it completely, but I was just like, come on. Like, I don't need this, but whatever. Maybe if it was someone else, I'd be more accepting of like, oh, look how similar they are.
Well, I think for me, like, just the fight scenes in general. And then I guess I can understand, like, they did the whole, like Bob said, the duality as far as Mia is like her dad. And clearly William is like Felicity.
Even though they never hung out at all.
Yeah.
Can I bring this up real quick?
Yes.
I want to stop the cycle of violence.
Right.
And then we know what the future's like.
Oh, well, fuck that. Oh, well.
None for you.
I don't know why it felt like it shit on Oliver's legacy and what he was trying to do for his family when his family is still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like he was talking more about Emiko in general, like trying to save her by not killing her. But at the same time, my daughter's a fucking cage fighter, and all my friends are still fighting. Like, I don't know, man. I think we talked about it last episode about our feelings on the flash forwards and just what they do for the show in general. I don't feel like we need to go down that road again.
But I just think it was just weird for me that, you know, his whole point of trying to save his sister this season was to stop the cycle of violence for his family.
Right.
Not necessarily her, but the family, that they needed to break it and that they go to the future and his kids are doing the same damn thing. Yeah. But what did they actually break?
They broke. Yeah, I don't know.
I think that was like the main question of the plot point that I had, like, you know, again, aside from losing a lot of the suspense, knowing what the future holds for the team. But just looking at like the general storyline of what he was trying to do and save this city. And it was just like, you look at the city in the future and he didn't do anything.
No. And I guess you're right, Bob. I think that does take away from Oliver's legacy. I think for him to do what he did, and to go out like he did, for the future to be fucked up as it is, I think it does kind of ruin his legacy in Star City.
You know what it sounds like to me?
What?
Felicity fucked up again. It's true.
Damn it. I mean, you're not wrong.
She taught her to, like, fight and everything like that. She let, what's-her-face teach her.
Yeah, she had the Hagul out there fucking helping
her
out.
Yeah.
Not only that, but she promises to keep him safe. And then, but by the way, Al Ghul, I need you to teach my daughter.
I'm going to keep you safe by having this assassin teach you a couple things.
Yeah, a few assassin moves. To keep you safe. Yeah, totally for your safety. You know, Angelica, learn how to knife fight. It's for your safety.
But your dad didn't want you to have any violence, but.
Here's a knife. Learn how to stab someone.
And that's the thing too, is like how she attacks people isn't like putting them down to go to sleep, like killing people.
That's true.
Not tucking them in. It's not nap time.
Let me ask you guys.
Rest.
Night, night. Close your eyes. I'll tell you a story.
Yeah, Bob, you're right. It's just continuing that violence, and that's not at all what Oliver wanted. Way to go, Felicity.
Yeah, it was strange to me as it ended. I was just like, huh.
Even the ending with Emiko's whole story and arc. I mean, we talked about it last episode. Like, what the fuck is she still mad for? I think that was the biggest letdown of that story.
Yeah, you shouldn't be surprised the Ninth Circle fucking turned on you.
Yeah, the Ninth Circle turns on you, but you're mad at your brother for vengeance of what? What did he do wrong? Yeah.
Exactly.
He didn't do shit. It was his dad.
I think the best line of the episode was when the Irish guy from the Ninth Circle goes, "We've been in the shadows for, I don't know, fucking ever. And now everybody knows our name here. Cool. Good job, leader.
Great job. You're a great leader, you dumbass." That's basically what he said. I mean, let's not be wrong. But I just, I felt like this story was just there at the end because of, I mean, you had to see her turn, right? They wouldn't build up all of her, you know, talking her down and, I don't leave my family. And then, like, you know, she, I'm
glad they killed her, though.
Yeah, I'm glad,
yes,
too.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah, well, yeah, not in the, like, good, thank God we don't got to see her anymore way, but storyline-wise.
Yeah.
You know, it just, like, you can't redeem everybody. Sometimes redemption comes with death.
It has to.
Yeah, right? And for her, it had to. Like, they needed to let that die, literally. Like, especially with knowing that this is the end of the season, I wouldn't want that to be, like, a loose end. Like, I don't want it to be like, oh, maybe we'll see her helping out in the future. No, she needed to die. And it was funny to me, the line where she was just like, I always wanted to be a queen, right before she dies, her last words. I was like, we're queen of, like, the ninth circle, though. Like,
yeah, you were like the head of that, right?
That's what I thought she meant. And then I was like, oh, wait, she means the last name.
Oh, she means the last name queen.
They should have showed like the gravestone, but not put the Miko queen on it.
Just put in whatever her other last name is.
Sucker.
Was an awesome leader of the ninth circle. Great job.
Spilled the beans about the ninth circle.
And gave up all of our inner secrets. Great job. I don't know. I just felt like the story was there and it just... But like Bob said, death has to be sometimes be used as redemption. And that was the only way there with her. Like, I just, there was nothing.
It was the only acceptable thing for me. If it would have turned off, like, and then it ends with them at some picnic on their dad's grave, like putting flowers on it or something. I'd have been like, yeah, okay, that's not very good.
Yeah, that would have been fucking horrid.
No, I think the decisions that they made at the end of this season were some of probably the better decisions that have come out of the show in a while, to where they didn't kind of pander to an audience or, you know, again, try to redeem everybody. It was, thank you for coming. You know, thank you for everything you did. Let's have a good goodbye for all these people.
Right.
Now, the one that it was kind of weird for me, like, how did you guys feel about Bronze Tiger just coming in out of nowhere?
I felt like it was out of left field. But I also feel like, Bob, and you made this point last episode, that he had to show up, right? He had to.
I thought he was going to die.
I thought he was going to die, too.
Angelica, did you think he was going to die? Being known what we know in the future?
Noted. Yes. That was because of him being like, oh, we could pick up your baby and then, you know, we'll keep him safe. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that he didn't. I'm glad that there's something to hold on to for what's ahead in crisis. And maybe he helps to make a sacrifice too, or just something happens in the future with the change of the city being taken over. That he tries
to be. You think Jai White's like, don't kill me, I want to be back.
Yeah, I want
to
come back.
He tries to be an ultimate hero and he dies because he is, like, at the end, he is, you know, the hero that the city needs.
I guess you don't need to kill off unnecessary characters, right?
No. But
like, we don't need to eliminate, especially Bronze Tiger and Jai White as being like one of the most recognizable actors, I think, on the shows.
On the shows,
The city's going to get attacked next season. That's how I see it, is like the city has to go through those issues to get to the future. So I feel like Bronze Tiger will die next season, but it'll be him being a hero.
I think Angelica's probably right with that. But, I mean, we talked about it. He had to show up. Yeah. I thought for sure, though, him showing up meant he was dying because of what we know about the future. So but I was okay with it. I mean, we saw his redemption arc when he was in Slabside anyways. So I had no problem.
You see how the white people get scared? He's like, hey, assholes, these guys got me on parole.
I know. I was like,
oh,
hey,
shit.
You're trying to save your life, dumbass. Like, shit. Okay.
I'm going to listen to Giant Black Man.
Yeah, fuck. All right, dude.
Sorry, Oliver.
I guess,
he's so,
you know,
handsome.
I know. You definitely couldn't have Diggle say that. He's not handsome or anything.
Diggle's handsome in a different way. Like, Diggle can,
tell us the difference.
Diggle can cuddle and, like, you know, comfort you. But, like,
Bronze Tiger could, like, he can take care of you in more ways than one.
Yeah. Like, he can be a little vicious and it's okay. Like, okay, Diggle, I want a hug from him. Like, going, Bronze Tiger, no. I want him to slap my ass. Like, two different things.
So what you're saying is, for you, Michael Jai White's a little more, like,
sexy
type.
Yeah.
A little more thug, like, you know.
No, sexy. Like,
oh, sexy. Oh, so wait, yeah. Diggle's not sexy?
Diggle's sexy, but, like, he doesn't have that, like,
Michael Jai White's fucking huge.
That's a big dude.
I'm looking at pictures of him.
I'm scared, but
is
it's
Diggle
okay.
bigger than him?
I don't think so, man.
Dude, really?
He, like, look, go Google, get Google Foo on.
I'm Google Foo right now. I'm trying to see if I can find a picture
and
of him.
And him, like, but, like, without a shirt on, this dude is fucking huge, like, wrestler huge.
Really? That big?
Yeah. No this guy's way more manly than Diggle. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
A good call, Angelica.
Holy shit.
I don't think I've seen him in a while.
I just don't remember seeing him.
God damn. Sorry.
Right? Did you look it up?
Good Jesus. God.
Jesus Christ. He is yoked out of his mind.
Do you think that they're like Oliver and them are like, hey, we're going to bring Michael Jai White back. Can we make sure he wears like fucking jackets and
shit? Three
Seriously?
Shirts and a jacket.
Jesus Christ. Good for him. Mm.
Yikes.
Yeah,
dude,
exactly.
He is huge.
He's 51 years old.
Get the fuck out.
Black don't crack.
Oh my God. There's a picture of him like doing curls and his arms are bigger than my legs, dude. Are you serious? Yikes.
All right.
Hold on.
All right. No, Angelica wins on this one.
No, I'm not arguing.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
I got to look
shocked.
At Diggle, though, right now. Hold on. This
but my, like, I'm, because anytime we play Fuck, Marry, Kill, which we haven't in a while.
Guys, Diggle's a big dude.
I don't think he's Michael Jai White.
I don't know, dude. There's one picture where he's, I mean, obviously, clearly he's got his arms crossed, so that doesn't help. But he's still pretty fucking
I'm not
big.
Saying he ain't big, but that's... Ooh.
Michael 6'1", just so we all know.
Okay, so how big? Diggle's taller then, right?
Find out. You do the digs.
I'm looking right now. Hold on. What is Diggle? I don't remember Diggle's real. I feel so bad. Oh, David Ramsey.
Yeah.
There we go. David Ramsey is 6'2", and he's 47.
Those are some old dudes that I really feel bad about my body type right now.
I feel fat as fuck right now. And I'm in probably the best shape of my life at this point, and I feel fat as shit right now sitting here. Holy crap!
In comparison,
dude.
Maybe it gets better at 50, guys.
Maybe
I'll be yoked at 45.
according to those infomercials, life isn't over at 50. So, Angelica, what possibly could be the final fuck, marry, kill of our Arrow career?
Ooh.
We're going to put in Diggle.
Oh.
We're going to put in Bronze Tiger.
Oh. What's the third one?
Slade,
because he's always my top.
You want to put in Slade? Okay, in Slade. So we have your top people going in there. Fuck,
I
Mary,
have
kill,
to
go.
Kill one of them? Fuck.
She's like, I'm going to kill this one with my mouth.
Oh, I know, right? God. Like that? Can I do that one instead? I no way. Those two of no. Those men are huge. No one can handle that. Okay, we'll have to wait till the end of the episode to answer this. I have to. Think
She's got to think about
things.
It.
You have to think about it.
This is
wow.
Very,
I did not.
I
think
do.
So.
All right. Well, we'll come back to Fuck, Marry, Kill.
I just feel really insecure right now.
I'm honestly, I'm more shocked that he's 51. But again, he played Spawn when I was a teenager.
That's true.
So.
I forgot about it.
God, and I'm old.
He's just so big. I am so.
No. All right.
I am so fat. Jesus. Anyways.
All right. Transition.
Yep. Okay. So let's talk about. sorry. Let's talk about, obviously, the goodbyes that we got in this episode. What did you guys think about as far as obviously OTA, the original Team Arrow, their goodbyes to each other, the team in general?
David Ramsey, just like, again, that's where I'm like, I just want a hug from him. He doesn't hug Oliver. He just like puts his big bear paw on him. And like, that's it. It's just like that solid, like, dude, like, it's been great, brother. Like that type of thing. It was done so well.
And it really was. I felt like he, that was exactly kind of the goodbye that they would have.
Yeah.
It, not so much of like lingering, like, oh man, you know, like it was more or less like, hey dude, see you next time.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And I feel like someone with the way that Diggle and Oliver have had their relationship in general with each other, I feel like that was the proper goodbye. As far as the team, I felt like that was a proper goodbye, especially to the shot where they all turn around and look at the suits and it was from behind them and they kind of have their arms around each other. That was a very well-written scene too, as well. I felt like that wasn't a force at all. It was okay to me.
I think this is why I think I would have been fine if they would have called it quits.
Were
these scenes? Yeah. It was just so like,
dude, this
satisfying as a goodbye.
The scene of Oliver standing in the bunker and the lights shutting off.
Yeah, and then
I thought that was the end of the episode, dude.
The Titantron raising up or whatever the hell you want to call it.
I did too, because I texted Bob and I was like, I didn't hate this. This was good.
Well, I thought that was the end of the. I 100% thought that was the end of the episode.
Yeah,
and then the next thing is like, nope, and I'm like, what? Oh, there's more shit. I thought that was the end.
There was so much beauty in just what everything that they did towards the end that it was really just was. Like I don't know if they can do it any better. And I felt emotion, and it was just like I really felt like this was it. And
it could have been. I think it 100% could have been. I think that
maybe it's going to be a terrible next season, and they're like, if you don't like this ending, this could be your ending. Game of Thrones should have done.
It was really emotional. Even the Felicity goodbye.
To
Oliver. Like, and again, maybe it was just like, I don't know how much of this, like having a kid has softened me to where I get in those sappy moments. But when, you know, Mia sleeping on his chest and the monitor comes and like taps him and it's like, hey, it's time. You're just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this right now. I did not expect that to see the monitor at the very end of this episode. I knew we would see it eventually.
I'm so glad they did.
But I am glad they did. I know, Bob, I don't feel like that's made you sappy at all, because I felt the same way. Like, he's having this moment that we've never really seen
Oliver. And it's peaceful.
It's peaceful. And we've never seen Oliver have a peaceful moment like this. And then to be ruined by the deal that he made last year is rough, and I think it hit you in the feels. I mean, shit, I'm not the biggest Oliver and Felicity fan, but even that hit me right in the feels. Like, it was just...
Well, because I think this was probably the most real kind of moments that they've had as a couple over a while, to where it wasn't one of them nagging at the other one about something stupid.
You know what? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why. I felt nothing during that scene. I was just like, okay, I think I'm supposed to be sad here. Maybe that's why I didn't feel anything, is because I've never really been team Olicity, and no, I didn't feel shit during that part. I was just like,
and you've been conditioned now to not, like, when they're, you know, it's just like, oh, we've, as a show, I think have, you know, again, we understand that there's all the shippers out there for the Olicity thing, but we haven't been a big fan of what it's done to the storylines.
Yeah.
And so just, I think I was more emotional because he was walking away from his daughter.
Yeah. Not because of Felicity.
You know, and.
I will say that I was incredibly emotional because of his acting. Those were real tears.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, I think you caught those actors in the absolute last scene they were going to shoot.
Yep.
Like, whether it was all together at that one thing, this is the last time we're going to be together here.
Right.
And then, you know, Oliver and Felicity in the cabin, this was the last time. Like, I hope that was the very last thing they shot. So those kind of things set in for those actors that this is the end.
Well, it got them.
I'm not discrediting anyone's acting. The scene was done really well. I just didn't feel anything personally, but acting was phenomenal. It was great. Like, Felicity just like holding him, like holding his face. Like, that's exactly what you would do to like your love, the love of your life, essentially, is just like hold them however you can and like just like hold on to that moment as best as you can too.
Yeah. I think that the true emotion that you see in these scenes is because Stephen Amell was feeling what he was feeling, you know?
Yeah. And this is his show. This is his universe. you know, and they all built it together.
It's sad, man. I think that's why I got a little emotional just watching it, because knowing it's like, man, we have a season left. This is over. You know, this show is over. And clearly, you know, the actors, you know, it was almost like you said, Bob, it could have ended here. I mean, I fully expect to not see any of them next season. Obviously, yeah, we're not going to see Felicity because of reasons. But, I mean, I don't think we're going to see Diggle next year.
I think he's going to get the ring. But
at some point, we'll see him. But I feel like in the crossover,
did you just say
whatever,
you think he's going to get the ring?
Uh-huh.
I was thinking that, too, when they were talking about, like, different, like, worlds and stuff like that. I think that's something that they said. And I was like, does that mean that, like, it's? Yeah. I think it's going to happen. Fan service the shit out of this last season. Come on.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. With that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to theorize what we're going to go into with the final season. But first, a quick break.
Aw, people say he's just a pretty face.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
A woman has shot herself while using Snapchat.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so.
Please tell me she's dead.
Jesus.
Hey, I second that.
No, if you're stupid enough to take a selfie with a gun that has live ammunition in it,
yes,
and it goes off, Darwinism.
Well, they took the gun filter away, so she had to use a real gun.
Foolishly playing with her uncle's 40 caliber pistol when she pulled the trigger and shot her cell phone.
Unfortunately, she...
40 caliber is not a small rat.
Powell suffered
last week.
What's
going on over there? I'm just Snapchatting, Dad. I'm just Snapchatting.
Come on, Quantum Leap song.
I'm trying to find out Dr. Snapchat gets home. Please hurry up with the Snapchat, Debbie. She came.
For more Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it, no free stuff. That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
All right, guys, we are back, and we're going to ask the question, now what? I mean, we know the final season is 10 episodes long. We know that Oliver disappears at the end of this episode because the monitor takes him, right? We know Felicity goes wherever the fuck Oliver is.
Okay, so...
What the fuck where do we go?
Now, while we were recording Flash earlier tonight, I found this breaking news.
Oh.
Because the DC, the CW upfronts were today for next season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the original thought of the crossover and everything that we've known up to this point today, when we record this, was that it was going to start with the crossover, that Crisis was going to be the lead into this season. CW President Mark Pedowitz announced on Thursday at the network's upfronts presentation that Crisis on Infinite Earths team-up will be told in 5 parts over 2 quarters, meaning that it will start in December and conclude early in the new year following the mid-season break. TV Line has since confirmed with sources that the 5 shows taking place in the crossover will be Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, Batwoman, and Legends. 3 of the 5 parts will air in December, and the other 2, including Legends, will be the mid-season premiere starting 2020. Now, this changes everything for us. because I think we were all under the impression that Arrow, like all these shows, including the ending of Flash, and that has happened at the point of us recording, mm-hmm. we're going to go into crisis right away.
I think the thing that, and we talked about this on Flash, but I think the thing that bugs me about this, Bob and Angelica, is that they're going to hit us with the mid-season finale, right? Which is going to be crisis. Then we've got to wait for the rest of it. And we only have 10 episodes, right, of this show left.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So for them to hit us with this and then make us wait, which, I mean, is Arrow going to go 5 episodes and then mid-season and then 5 episodes to finish? Or how are they going to do it? So clearly 2 of those episodes, I'm just a little confused. And we're going to have episodes in the middle somewhere. It's just going to be a weird order, right? Or am I just looking at this the wrong way?
So the lineup for next year, I don't know where Legends falls into it, but Supergirl and Batwoman are going to be on Sunday. Flash and Arrow, I think, are on Tuesday.
Girl power Sunday.
They didn't make an announcement when Legends is actually going to come back in 2020. So I assume that Arrow will be ending in December and we'll see Oliver finally die going into the break. That'll probably be the last thing we see in 2019.
Well, should we air quotes die?
I'm not air quoting anything.
Well, I'm just saying because air quotes die because Felicity is going to see him at the end of this episode. So he's not.
I'm not going to buy into any of that voodoo bullshit.
To voodoo. From Nolans.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just so weird because both Arrow and Flash had those, you know, massive Easter eggs. You know, with the monitor and then the newspaper changing to 2019 for crisis starting. I don't know if I just like the fact that they just blatantly lied to us that it was supposed to be fall.
Do you think they had to have changed that for a reason, right? Or did they just, like you said, blatantly lie?
I don't know. The shortening of the season changed the rules. But then what do we get for Oliver next year?
A watered down story because they have to focus on crisis.
But he's gone.
It's got to be leading up to it, right?
It's got to be prepping for crisis. You know?
You think he's assembling a team?
Yeah.
That's the whole season? See, then now you take away from Oliver. The last season should be about Oliver, right? But by adding an ensemble portion of it, now you're taking away from...
I don't know. I'm just trying to guess. I have the hardest time trying to figure this out. You know, what do you do with the last 10 episodes? And me and Angelica were going, you know, back and forth with some of the listeners about what do you see for these last like 10 episodes?
Yeah.
And I told Angelica, man, I'm like, if we get future stuff, I don't know if I could handle Mia and William for 10 episodes.
I don't want any of that. I swear to God, I'm going to tell you this right now, guys. I'm going to say it right now as we sit here. If that's what we get next season, I am going to be fucking livid.
I don't like, right? We don't want flash forwards. I want this to focus on Oliver.
It's his last season. You cannot, for the love of God, give us those two motherfuckers in the future. I am angry. I am literally angry right now thinking about it. That is a fucking no for me. I will be sick for all the recording, guys.
I'm out. I'm scheduling.
Bob. Oh, shit, man. I don't feel so good.
Flash will end and Ryan will just leave with Steve. We'll be like, where the fuck did he go?
Yeah. I'm just, dude, I can't. No. You cannot end a show with the character that fucking created the universe and not make it about him the final season. And you shorten it by 10 motherfucking episodes.
12, technically.
Whatever. You know what I mean? You don't focus on the main character? No. I am fucking out. I will be done. I do not. I will be pissed. I will come in the first episode and be like, yo, this is it. I'm fucking done.
Angelica, what do you think?
I just replied to a tweet. Someone was like, they should make a whole episode of just Mia. And then
I can,
like,
kill myself?
She can die in a fire. Not the actress, but the character. Die in a fire.
I can't understand that people actually want that.
Yeah.
You want that?
No, I think it was a joke because it's me and they know that I'm not a fan.
No. Not you. I'm saying the person wants an episode of Mia.
No, I think they're fucking with Angelica.
Oh, okay.
They're
okay,
definitely fucking.
Oh, they're trolling you. Okay, fair
enough. They have to be. No one wants that. Come on.
You legitimately just replied to the tweet.
Yeah, I did.
I thought it was I didn't know it. Just popped up.
You thought I'd lie? Why would I lie to you?
No, I thought maybe it was earlier, but it really just popped up on my phone as we're recording.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Ryan was talking, so I figured I would take some time to reply to our fans.
But I don't know. I think the future thing is so hard for this is going forward with these 10 episodes. Like, you know, I always had that expectation that they were going to be on the run or something.
Yeah, you thought that was the go-to.
You know, yeah. I wanted to see like the Dark Knight ending where it's just like, well, somebody has to be the hero.
Someone has to be the fall guy.
And run away. But we're not getting that. And so,
the team is left still working for the PD.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Diggle's still working for
Argus.
PD.
The PD.
PD, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So what needs to happen there in the city is that all has to, well, they haven't found that footage of them lying about Roy, have they?
Yes, that is out there, which again, I thought was a major plot hole, but I didn't want to bring it up that they forget that, like, thank you for saving the city. You still killed some assholes and lied about it.
Oh, wait, what? They just glossed over that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
They saved the city, so it makes it okay.
They need to fucking deal with that. That's insane.
That's 100% insane.
I mean, yeah, that was a huge plot hole coming out.
Yeah. Massive. Do you think that they're going to talk about it at all, or do you think they're just going to glaze over that?
It's so hard to understand what the future holds, because with Oliver gone, it's just like, are we going to get present day and then Oliver being in the multiverse? You know, and people dealing with Oliver being gone, and this is where the turn of the city goes.
But
not being like a flash forward. No,
because then how is Renee a mayor?
Yeah.
I see it.
It's going to be I think maybe it's going to be like the technology coming into the city, like the Archer or whatever. And I don't know. I don't really want to see that. I don't really give a shit. I would like to see Oliver going to different worlds and getting crisis ready, getting Diggle.
I think that's, I would be okay with them building a team, but it has to 100% focus on.
What if it's the monitor being like season one, where it's just Oliver training on like an island and trying to get him ready to fight these beings that aren't him?
I'd be okay with it.
I would be okay with that, I guess. Where he's like trying to train him and it's just him and the monitor.
Yeah. And just going through like more trials and tribulations that we've seen Oliver go through, like when season one.
Or what
being isolated, trying to learn things that are going to help him in the crisis.
What if it's let me one up you there. What if it's the monitor taking him to different parts of time to learn what he's going to need to know going forward for this fight? So in other words, like it puts him in situation. Obviously, he could be alone, but taking him to different, I don't want to say time travel, but like different universes and you know, you learn a lesson here and then you learn a lesson here and then you learn a lesson here. And it's
then
like,
you see Diggle with the ring and he gets him and he teaches him something.
Yes. See, that I would be okay with.
And then he runs into like, or he goes and meets the other Olivers and we finally get gay booty Robin Hood.
Yes.
No, that would be cool. That would be really cool.
I would be okay with that.
That he goes to the other universes and finds like Earth 34, Archer is that guy.
Let's just fan service the shit out of this.
You said that, right? Let's look
at the comics and give us pieces of that, because this is our goodbye to the Green Arrow.
You're right. Just tribute the shit out of this. So we have our Neil Adams run to where he runs into the Green Lantern and we have the Green Lantern, Green Arrows thing.
Yeah.
And then he goes off and we run into Onomatopoeia and we have our Kevin Smith tribute that his fucking character that he made up.
Yeah.
Right. That he made up shows up. And as ridiculous as it sounds that Onomatopoeia is the guy that just says boom and pow. Well, fuck it. It's the last season. Fan service us. You know, go back and do more for Jock and Andy Diggle and, you know, have their year one run go on and, you know, just do those things and fan service us.
That'd be cool.
That's what it should be. That's exact. And I remember like talking to a couple people who have like been watching Arrow, stuff like that. And a lot of them just watch what's on Netflix. They're not current. They're like, where do you think it's going to go? And I'm just like, this is what I want to happen. And everyone's like, hell yeah, we haven't had that. We never really got that. And they should finally do it because we've been held back for so many different things. Or we've been following Batman stories. Like, just give us Green Arrow, finally.
I actually agree with all of that. I think if they did, if they gave us a little bit of fan service, it'd be okay. I think it's got to be done correctly. And we say that every fucking thing, every speculation that we come out with. But if they gave us some kind of Oliver jumping universes, figuring things out. And like you said, Diggle gets the ring and teaches him something. And we see him learn and learn and learn. And then that's what takes him into the crisis. I would be okay with that. I think it would make sense in giving us the fan service that we want and going forward with the crisis that we have on hand. Right. I think it would be neat. And I think it would be truly focusing on Oliver learning lessons. Right. I mean, does he get a happy ending? I have no idea. I don't think so.
Wherever Felicity walks to is some Earth to where he's not the Green Arrow, that he's just Oliver Queen.
Why does she take off her ring?
She doesn't. She straightens it.
No, she doesn't. She looks like she's taking it off.
She straightens it.
That's a stupid move.
It's a reminder that she's married. Duh.
Well, then have her like look at it. Like have her like eat, like.
Or take it off a necklace and put it back on her hand.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Do that because it looked like she took it off.
Yeah, Angelica said that to me and I was like, I don't remember that. And I didn't have a chance to go back and rewatch. But yeah, maybe that's it. They just walk off and he's on an Earth.
You know? I mean, and they live happily ever after.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's.
I really don't want it to be that. Just because, like,
you want him to die a fiery death.
No, I just want Olicity to be a thing because it never was a thing.
But it is a thing. It's in the show.
Do you think that maybe she just goes back to like a limbo point in time where it's just a loop of her and Oliver in those days before he leaves?
Oh, Groundhog's Day would be horrible.
I'd be okay with that if she's stuck. I don't want that either. If that's where Felicity is, that's fine. Don't care. Let's pretend that's where she is because she's not in any more episodes.
Yeah.
What if she goes through the thing and just it's a portal to the Grand Canyon and she falls in?
Great.
That's Angelica's fan fiction.
The portal opens and it opens above the Grand Canyon. She just
terrible because she's not in any more episodes. I don't think we get to find out where she goes. So I'll write that fan fiction.
I could just see her falling out of a portal into the.
I was falling for 30 minutes.
Oh God, I'd probably pee my pants.
It's like the portal game, but the two portals are just on each side of each other, and she just continuously keeps falling.
That's our Easter egg old. at the end of the series is just her like falling or just her going. No, our Easter egg is her going through it and just hearing ah.
Oh fuck! That's great. That's good. That's good. All right, let's jump into our final thoughts on the season.
Let me go first here. I'm going to go first.
You're going to go first?
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
It's hard to believe that the prison was the same season as what we saw for the rest.
Yeah, what happened at the beginning of the season?
That the first 10 episodes were probably some of the strongest Arrow episodes we've seen where it was just focused on Oliver.
How psyched were we about this season, too, after the first 5 episodes?
Well, just think of the poetic beauty of the Count of Monte Cristo.
Right. Which was one of my favorite books and movies.
And him like kind of following that path and telling that story. And I think where they went wrong again was losing going to the flash forwards. Not because of the characters that were there, but because I lost all the suspense into the season. When Roy jumps into a gas pit to start the electricity again, I had no worries that he was gonna come out.
No, you knew for a fact he was not gonna die,
you know. And yeah, so seeing
like,
the people,
he's fine. This was in a Batman video game also, so
Yeah. Well, also think about when New Canary gets her throat slit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're like, oh, fuck. If we didn't see her in the future with her throat slit, we would have been like, oh, this is dead. Yeah. She could be dying. And I think we lost a lot of that suspense because this isn't a show that was always like, oh, we won't kill characters. I mean, we've seen Felicity get shot. Oliver's mom died. You know, Sarah died. Laurel died. I mean, we've seen people die.
Yep.
And I think we just lost that suspense there. And I think that's where the inconsistency of the season was. The ending was beautiful. Like, the go away was fine. I just think the flash forwards and then some of the build up to the Ninth Circle threw off kind of the, you know, the flow of the season. I think if the prison was going on and the Ninth Circle was robbing and pillaging the city while Oliver was away, and then he gets out and solves this crime, figures out it, his sister, would have been a tighter story, again, without the flash forwards. The other thing that we miss out there is, do you remember that his fucking roommate was the fucking Weasley killer that escaped and showed up? That was another great episode that has been lost in the shuffle of the mess that is, you know, episodes, what, 15 through 19 were.
I feel you're onto something here, Bob, because if you sit back and look at this season, right, and you sit back and you look at the first 10 episodes being in the prison, which, like you said, were some of the best, probably some of the best Arrow episodes ever. And then, in fact, his Weasley friend, you know, shows up later. I feel like the last 6 or 7 episodes of this season completely lost us on where we started with the first 10. I think it went in a complete boomerang direction where it started off super hard and it came right backwards to where it was. And I think it's sad. It's sad to say that. And I think part of it ultimately was the flash forwards. The flash forwards, and we talked about it last episode, they ruined a lot of suspense going into the last couple episodes here. It didn't add any drama or any type of sense of surprise or, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. I mean, we kind of knew where it was going. And I think that's sad because the first 10 episodes were so fucking good. Him in prison was so good. I felt like it could go anywhere, with that situation, especially with Diaz and the, like, everything that was going on with him and with,
and then the talk about Dante and what the Ninth Circle, right, like this mysterious thing. And then it turns out to be like, and the, I think nothing. The worst part about it is that she was the leader of the Ninth Circle.
Yeah.
She didn't just like deal with like a piece of it and their lackeys. No, she was the leader. Are you kidding me? This little snot nose, like, I just want to be a queen, was the one that was your leader for this prestigious, like, whatever the fuck they are.
They built it up as being like even bigger than the League of Shadows, and then it ended up, and it wasn't. And I think that was the biggest letdown too, because you built it up as this huge thing that was supposed to be like in the shadows and blah blah blah, and then it was just a snotty girl who was mad at her daddy, you know, and wanted to take it out on his other, you know, child. Is just, I don't know. It was just a little weird to me.
It didn't make any sense for all this talk, you know, that not only that, but just this, the fear that Diaz had for Dante, like it makes no sense to me now that they were afraid essentially of a crybaby. And looking at it now too, Diaz is a far better villain than Emiko. Because Emiko had like a moment of where it was kind of cool of just like, it's chaos. It is what it is. But because of her backstory, like her saying it's just chaos, it isn't. It's her just being a fucking brat. And at least with Diaz, like, it, he was a bit of chaos, because like once he went off the rail, once he would just see red, like all it was just red and chaos. So that I believe for him, but for her, it's just brattiness. And that's why I wasn't a fan. So congratulations, Mushmouth. You did a better job than Emiko.
The bar was set real low. And somebody slipped
somebody slipped in. let's go through and talk about our MVPs of this season.
creepy roommate.
He was probably my favorite character.
Yeah, I actually don't disagree.
And Bronze Tiger. You know what? Both people from the prison, because that started off so well.
I want to say the prison in general.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, Cody Rhodes and, you know, I guess that I wish I could remember all their names now. Was it Gridlock?
Brick.
Oh, that's right. Like, yeah, everyone in there was great. You're right.
Yeah, the prison scene, I want to say the prison was the MVP.
Yeah.
Can I make a, I guess I wrote the fucking notes. I can do whatever
you
I want.
You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, the prison's the MVP.
I actually, I'm cool with that. I mean, it was.
Because you think about it. You had the doctor trying to get in fucking Oliver's head.
Yeah.
You had Oliver. You had the creepy fucking roommate that just called him Green Arrow the whole time. You know, Cody Rhodes. You had all the former inmates at him. The security guard, the guards that were after him. There was so much going on in prison, and just Oliver's performance in general in the prison, or, you know, Stephen Amell, you know, he just looks so rough and rugged, and not in that sexy type of way, but just like he looked like he was beat down in there.
Mm-hmm.
It really was the best part of this season. And I think it's easily the MVP of the season, just in general. It created drama to a character that we thought couldn't really have much test him, if that makes sense. And to be thrown in there and be tested the way that he was tested this season in the first 10 episodes, I mean, it made sense, right?
Yeah.
So I agree. I agree.
I also definitely like the Ninth Circle Irish guy. That was just the voice of reason. Yeah. Well, that, and he was just very sinister too. Like, I just liked him as a character.
He was so nonchalant, but yeah, you're fucked up. You're wrong.
Yeah. But that's what I liked, is that he was very direct about everything. Even like when he would like talk to like Felicity and stuff like that. Like, he was just very like cool as a cucumber, but also just very direct. I liked him. I would have liked to see him more, but I don't need that anymore because we got to deal with crisis.
So, is it because of his like accent? Is that
probably? Let's be real. I'm a sucker for accents.
Well, you're gonna have to be a sucker for something else before we go off the air.
Oh,
you've had 20 minutes to think about.
I know
this.
You guys are gonna be so disappointed in me.
You're not ready yet.
I know what I have to do.
You know what you have to do? You have to make the tough decision.
I do.
Angelica, what is definitely the might be the final fuck, marry, kill of our DC on RMD Arrow edition? Blade, Daigle, uh-huh, and Bronze Tiger. The choices are yours.
I would for sure marry Slade still, because through all these years, I've always picked him. And I still do. Okay.
Oh my God. So you're going to kill Diggle or Bronze Tiger?
Oh.
I would kill Diggle. What do you want to start with? Because I really want to fuck Bronze Tiger. I'm sorry, Diggle.
Oh my God. You're going
to
kill
It would be
Diggle?
So heartbreaking, too. I'd be like, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
And as he puts his big bear paw on you and says, Angelica, I understand.
She's
gonna cry.
You have to make the choice.
Oh, that's so fucked.
I'm honored to be in the three.
Oh man,
if I could have, it would have been Mia or Felicity. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Oh, jeez.
She's going to
so
kill
many other people
Diggle.
I would have rather killed, but
well, we're not trying to make these easy on you.
Yeah, no, that's the whole point.
Sorry, Diggle.
Man.
Well, we're going out on that note.
All right, with that, guys, that now that you're all on the fields, that is going to do it for today's DC on RMD Arrow edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on RMD episodes on DCOnRMD.com. Follow us on our social medias, and we will see you guys into this year.
People want cuddles.